6:02 in the Fast Lane. Your time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. Big Sizz is out. He's got mold poisoning, apparently. And hopefully,
it's not funny.
He'll
return. Serious.
I find it funny.
I think it's not funny. No, it's not funny. He's got the black lung, though.
You know what, though? He can always get a spare lung.
I think meat's a good spore about it.
Yeah.
So, Big Sizz is out today, and Patrick Kelly is in, BT, Ronge, and Randy. We've got, with all due respect, coming up in a moment. Send in your text to the Hot Shots text line, 65780. Before we get to that, though, Michael Porter Jr. accidentally Snapchatted Commissioner Adam Silver's phone number. The snap was of a slide presentation with what appeared to be Silver on a stage speaking to a group of NBA players. It captured a slide with the league commissioner's email address, office phone number, and even his cell phone number, all clearly visible, so that anybody who was following Michael Porter on Snapchat could just call up the commish if they needed to.
Oh, that's great. Now he's got to get a new number.
Right?
Terrible.
Did you see some of the snapshots, by the way, of text to the commissioner? And it's like random people. It's like, you should tell Michael Porter not to do send out your number. He's like, I know. I'll talk to him. I know. By the way, I think that there's a difference between a mistake and an accident. A mistake, after the fact, you realize, I shouldn't have done that. An accident, you just didn't mean to do it. Mm-hmm. I'm quite sure that he meant to do it and put it out there. Because I think that it read, about to text the commish, is what it wrote on there. So, you know, what are you going to do?
Dale Earnhardt crashed today. Mistake, accident?
Accident.
That's
for
an
sure.
accident. Nobody.
Okay. Somebody made a mistake, clearly.
No.
Nobody. It could be a plane.
Oh, it could
issue.
Be. Could,
by the way,
right.
He's okay if you just tune
yeah,
in.
Yeah, and so is his wife. Everybody's fine.
I don't think They're that safe. Anybody intentionally tries to.
Well, but sometimes you make mistakes. I guess pilot error would be mistake.
Yeah.
Accident would be. Could be anything.
What's an affair? Is that a mistake or an accident?
Depends which side you ask.
So Ezekiel Elliott is holding out from the Cowboys and working out at Cabo. How about that Cabo? And reports are that he's apparently close to 220 pounds, which would be his lightest weight since his rookie year. With all due respect, if I'm holding out, I'm at B-Dubs with an All-American cheeseburger every single day.
You're getting bigger?
I'm not 220. I'm 240.
I think that you have to show that you want to get paid, don't you?
Yeah, nobody knows. Get paid and then show up at camp.
They're going to know at some point.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that he's doing a better job of showing off what he is looking like during his holdout than Le'Veon Bell did on his jet ski.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
I think he's doing a way better job on this. So Antonio Brown always finds himself in the news. It's been the frozen feet. It's been the helmets. And now it's a lawsuit because he's not paying a chef, apparently. Apparently, in 2018 at the Pro Bowl, he rented a house and had this chef cook for multiple guests, had dinner one night for like 45 people, and had like three meals a day for the rest of everybody that was staying there. A lot of meals, a lot of cooking, but apparently he owes this chef $38,521.20 for the weekend of cooking. With all due respect, I think he got price gouged.
Yeah, I think so.
How many people?
The dinner was for a lot of people, approximately 43. It said. And then it was breakfast and lunch for 15 guests before. It's a lot of work.
It is still a ton of
work. It is not as much as an NFL rookie dinner.
Oh, rookie dinners don't get up that high.
Oh, yeah. In the NFL, they do.
$38,000?
Yeah.
Which to me, by the way, again, is the stupidest thing ever. Let's teach these guys how to go broke when they first get their contract.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
You
want to be on a documentary.
I'm with you. You want to have a little fun with your rookies, go ahead, but that's financially stupid. I mean, you can't.
The veterans should buy stuff like
absolutely.
That for them. And then they do it, and the wheel turns. Anyways.
I don't know if you saw this happen just a few days ago, haven't had a chance to talk about it, but for some reason, some gentleman in Virginia decided to, in the middle of the night, take old television sets.
I saw this.
Old box tube television sets. He took about 50 of them and placed them on the doorstep of multiple random homes. He was wearing an old television set on his head as he did this. With all due respect, at least leave an iPod. Why do you suppose this is happening?
I don't know, but it's like really creepy video.
It's super creepy.
Saw the video from like the Nest camera or whatever it was, and it's like it's way too creepy. So if you're a police officer, if you're a detective digging into this, I mean, who are you looking at first? Who's got 50 tube TVs? So is it a disposal site and somebody that works there?
Somebody who works in a recycling?
Is it a rando pawn shop that still sells those things? Although I doubt that they sell too many tube TVs anymore. I mean, where are you getting your mitts on 50 tube TVs right now?
That's amazing.
But what?
And those are heavy.
This isn't a crime, is it?
It's at the very least littering or something. I don't
know. Maybe it's littering. But there are videos,
littering
people
and,
with their door cam, their ring cams. And he'll come up, he'll put the TV down on the doorstep, he'll turn around and wave at the camera and walk off.
Yeah.
It's really creepy.
Well, it's a pain in the butt to get rid of your own TV, but then to have to get rid of another one.
Yeah, that's the worst part about it.
It's definitely the worst part.
Patrick, what do you have for us?
Gentlemen, with all... Here we go. Gentlemen,
button, turn it on.
Yes. Gentlemen, with all due respect, I would rather have Fozzie Bear pitching tonight.
Rather than Mike?
Rather than Mike.
Oh, I totally, totally disagree with that. Now that we're... Yeah, I like that, though. but now that we're calling him Mike, things are going to go...
I think so.
Famously.
I agree. Should we... We probably shouldn't read the text message that says it's actually Mike Walker. W-A-L-K-A.
A lot of times I think that things are typos or talk to text, but I don't think that one. I think that one is totally on purpose. By the way, we get a text from 314 says it costs $50 to recycle a tube TV in St. Louis.
Wow.
So somebody just dropped off $50 that you have to pay.
That's weird.
That's a swift kick in the junk.
How about this? 2014 Eagles ran up a $64,000 bill at the rookie dinner. The Cowboys in 2018, $55,000. The Packers with Devontae Adams in 2018 was only $9,000. There was another one, $22,000 for the Redskins rookies in 2015. So, man, those get pretty expensive.
That's so stupid.
It is stupid. DeMarco said that the guys would order real expensive bottles of wine and take them home.
Yeah, not even
just
drink.
To stick it to the rookies, yeah.
Makes tons of sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, bro.
Ordering steaks to go.
Yeah.
Real nice, fellas.
If Ronj did that, he would at least put it in a fry pan.
That's correct.
Oh, yeah. Reheated steak in the microwave is not good.
No.
Yeah, but if you do it in the frying pan, it's good.
Once you guys told me that trick, I started doing it, and it makes all the difference in the world.
Doesn't it? It takes a few more minutes.
Yep.
Who cares?
Olive oil, perfect.
Mm. LaDainian Tomlinson's rookie dinner in 2015, $32,000. Or he said in 2015 that he paid $32,000 for it. Go ahead, Patrick.
Gentlemen, with all due respect, who still has a tube TV?
Don't have any in the house.
I don't either. I don't think I've had one in the last decade.
In this room, there used to be one directly over my head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Almost fell on your head.
It did. I would have died for sure.
You for sure would have at least had
a broken neck.
So a quick little story about the TV that used to be in here. Now we have three nice flat screens on the wall, which gotta love that. Times are good. But there was this small one above Ronj here. He sits in the middle of the two of us.
Probably like a 19-inch.
And so one day we had somebody in here trying to take it down. He didn't quite finish the job. The show was about to start. Didn't want to affect everybody's work. He said, hey, it's good to go. I'll get it down tomorrow. Following day, comes in.
Maybe, I'm out. I wasn't in that day, right? That he took care of it?
The day that he took it down, finally?
Yep.
I think you were. I don't know. Either way, he turns it a half turn. Like, barely at all.
Yep.
This thing comes dropping down.
Yep.
A half turn. If Ronj had sneezed, it could have killed him.
Back in about 1989-ish, I spent like $1,000 on a 31-inch tube TV that weighed maybe 150 pounds. And then on Amazon Prime Day this year, a couple of months ago, bought a 55-inch flat screen for $300.
Yeah, the world's changed a little bit.
A lot.
With all due respect, the Asian pilots video is the funniest thing in human history.
That is pretty funny.
I really hope that the intern, we're assuming it was an intern, that wrote this up, I hope he ended up writing for SNL. And by the way, if your on-air talent can't stop at too low, you might want to get some other people. What do you got? A bunch of Ron Burgundy's in there?
I'm envisioning the person who wrote that. As she starts to read it and keeps going, he's probably sitting there with his mouth wide open like, oh my God, she's doing it.
Don't do it. I could see you getting through something. Wong and some other pilots was the issue here. This plane has gone down.
That's astounding.
Yeah. Which one's more impressive to you? The person that actually wrote it and got it through, or the fact that she read the entire thing?
The fact that she read the whole thing.
I think so, too.
Yep.
By the way, it was three producers that put together the list.
In the world?
And they wound up getting fired. And then another producer left, told he was leaving for health reasons. I don't know what happened to the anchor, but it was brilliant.
Gentlemen.
Do one more.
With all due respect from the 3-1-4, I don't care how the Cardinals do. The Stanley Cup champs are about to start back up.
Hey, that's fair, if that's how you feel.
Let's go Blues.
I mean, I'm excited.
Yeah, it's going to be great and all, but they already won. I want the Cardinals to win now.
Now, I do agree with that, but
there's room for both is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And for the Blues, there's only one way to go, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Jordan.
I'm looking forward to it.
I've seen them emotions.
And gentlemen from the 636, with all due respect, how do we rename Moe?
Mariano?
As in...
No, he's talking about Mozeliak.
Mozeliak.
Oh, like for...
We just call
Jonathan.
Jonathan.
It's got to be Jonathan.
Oh. Just Jonathan?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. All right. Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you, guys.
And thank you very much for the text to the Hot Shots text line, 65780. Next up, the NFL has a new and unique partnership. How will it affect the NFL? That's next on 101 ESPN. If you haven't heard, the NFL has entered into a wide-ranging deal with Jay-Z's Roc Nation for an overhaul of the Super Bowl halftime show and to support the league's social justice initiatives. Jay-Z has been critical of the NFL in the past and has backed Colin Kaepernick and his social justice platform, but now he believes that he has even a larger platform to work with.
The NFL platform for us, what was exciting for us, despite changes already happening, and the NFL has a huge platform. And we can use that huge platform for, we've seen it happen. Like when J.J. Watts, you know, came the aid to everybody in Houston, the whole world forgot about all the turmoil they had with the NFL. It was, oh, that's a great thing. That's a fantastic thing. And if you can use that platform to do that in different areas, then it's a home run. That's the success. I think someone asked me what I would view success. That's the success for me.
He is capable on his own without the NFL platform of doing great things. Obviously, he's going to make some money from this.
Yeah.
This will enhance his platform. But my hope would be that he will wind up doing great things for society because of the platform that he enjoys.
Well, I think the opportunity here between it, and certainly, I mean, it has its naysayers, and some within the NFL, some...
Eric Reed.
Reed and Colin Kaepernick, Kaepernick by extension. But I think that when you are able to collaborate between music and entertainment and stars and sports, you open up a whole new door. And I think that you can make a change without even, I don't want to say without trying to, because obviously, I mean, you heard Jay-Z there talking about the fact that they want to make changes. They have a platform. But you can do it in different ways where it's not just, okay, well, here's the message, here's the message, here's the message. It's like, no, here is everything, you know, and I got more eyes on this. People are looking now, how do we go? You know, how do we go from here? I don't see how this can be a bad thing for the NFL, certainly for Jay-Z, certainly for viewers. I mean, there's more entertainment, more excitement around it.
More
Beyonce. It seems like an overall smart deal.
I think I look at this a little more skeptically. I don't know if it's going to have the social impact that maybe he says or believes is going to happen here. But it is it's certainly a business move for him. And you know what? I don't have any problem with him. I think I'd prefer, and it sounds like other people who have had some pretty extreme thoughts on this today. Eric Reed, you mentioned. I think they would probably prefer him just say, look, it's a business deal for me. And if that's what you're going to do, then go ahead. I have no problem with that. I think he should continue to make as much money as he can. He's a very good businessman. He's very, very good at that. But I don't know if it's going to have the wide-reaching effects socially that he says it's going to have.
Who knows?
Don't know.
And a lot of people, too, are saying, well, you had Colin Kaepernick's back, and now you're just selling him out. You're selling him out behind his back. You're going to make some money. You signed this deal with the NFL, and then all of a sudden you're part of the machine. And Jay-Z talked about that a little bit as well, and he said, look, we have an opportunity to, and Ron, to your point, we'll see how far the reach is. But he said, we have an opportunity to help millions of people, or should we get hung up on Colin not having a job? I think he's picking the greater good slash the one that's going to make him some cash.
And Goodell knows that not everybody is going to be on board with this initiative.
I don't think either one of us expected that this relationship wouldn't have its critics. I think we're both used to, I'm more used to critics than he is.
Might be 50-50 here.
but we knew that. But you don't like the critics or the negativity overwhelm the chance to do something really positive. And I think that was sort of both our views, is that, yeah, we know there'll be people who criticize, but we'll do the work, we'll succeed, and we'll make a difference.
Now, it's interesting to know how all of this came together. According to Pro Football Talk, Jay-Z met Robert Kraft because both were involved in the effort to get Meek Mill freed.
I thought you were going to say a massage thing.
Oh, no.
That's different.
No.
Yeah, right.
Not saying that didn't happen, but apparently it happened through Meek Mill.
Do you have evidence? Is there video of it? How do you know?
With Kraft?
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently there is. Now, in early January, Kraft and Goodell traveled.
I don't know. Morbid curiosity.
Sorry, Randy, he just
didn't
really wants to see that video. That's
kind of weird.
I want to see it.
He's a 77-year-old man.
I know, but he's Robert Kraft.
Weird.
Kind of want to see how it works, or if it does.
What?
You can see how it works in a mirror.
No, I'm not talking about me.
Oh. How it
specifically
works.
You're not telling me you don't have like some kind of sick, twisted, you kind of want to.
Not.
I do.
And I watched the Saddam Hussein thing. That's how sick and twisted I am, but I don't want to see Robert Kraft.
See? We all have our sick and twisted stuff. I've never seen Two Girls, One Cup.
What is that?
Yeah, what is golf?
I can't. You don't know what that is?
Nope.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
Sure don't. You see what we do here, Ronj? We keep stuff to ourselves.
I've never seen it.
I didn't want ice cream for
what
a week.
What is it?
I know what it is, but I can never watch that. That's different.
In early January,
I have limits.
Robert Kraft and Goodell, this must have been like soon after Robert Kraft did go to the spa. In early January, Kraft and Goodell traveled to Los Angeles to meet with Jay-Z. And after up to five more meetings and other communications, the partnership was finalized, and Goodell is thrilled with it.
We're partnering with the best. And so his perspective is going to drive us. I'm not going to sit here and talk to him about entertainers. He knows that business. What we have to do is figure out how do we support that and how do we make sure that we bring that to another level.
I'm intrigued to see how this works. How does this make society? I can see how it makes the NFL more popular because they've had people rejecting them for halftime shows. If you're a musician, you probably aren't going to say no to Jay-Z if he asks you to do the NFL halftime show. But how does this ultimately make society better?
I don't know. And I guess we'll find out. I look at this skeptically, and I think that it's probably more for Jay-Z than for any greater good. I don't know if I'm a big fan. I didn't even know the NFL was partnering with AB again on this. That's what Goodell said.
Oh, yeah. He said it was
Antonio
the best,
Brown.
Right?
Yeah.
Might
That's
be
what he
something
said.
Different. So this is a longer view here, while not to minimize what Jay-Z is trying to do, but I'm just wondering if in the future. So he's in with the NFL right now, and he's got a partnership. They're looking to change some things. Certainly he has the commissioner's ear. Is this the beginning to him being an owner of a team? He's got the cash.
Yeah, it's. I would think so. Now all the owners will know him. I don't think there's any doubt that that's where he's headed. He's absolutely, like you said, BT, he's got the money. He's got the interest. The only thing I shouldn't say this because Brody Van Wagenen is a general manager. He would just have to divest himself of Roc Nation and all of the players that his agency represents, among them Todd Gurley. But that wouldn't be very difficult. That just makes sense to me that at some point when an NFL team becomes available, that he would be a guy that the other owners would accept now because he's part of their group.
I agree. Yeah. I'm sorry. There's some stuff going on over here, Randy, that it's really distracting.
Hmm.
And it's BT's trying to show me videos of things I don't want to see.
Like That's you did enough. To me with the penguin fighting the other day. Same idea.
A text.
No, it's not the same.
A text very, very different. To the Hotshot sex line 65780 from the 314. Who is J.J. Watts? I think he was referring to J.J. Watt.
Oh, yeah.
Not J.C. Watts, the former Oklahoma quarterback who ultimately became a senator or a congressman from Oklahoma. One or the other. That was J.C. Watts. This is J.J. Watt. So I know what you're thinking, but that's not what he's saying.
Oh, close enough, man.
Yeah.
Give the guy credit.
J.C. Watts was great against Mizzou, by the way, in the old Big Eight. Man,
what was he?
He was a high-quality option quarterback. What's wrong, Raj?
Nah, I'm just reading a text message from the last segment when we were talking about the producers and of the plane crash.
Uh-huh.
And this texter says, don't worry, I'm sure those producers landed on their feet somewhere.
I think so.
People are just not nice, you know?
No, I think that's okay.
I'm joking about airplane crashes and people losing their jobs.
Can't believe that happens in America.
That's terrible. It's terrible.
America.
I think we're better than that.
I do too.
Actually, maybe not.
It's a Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. At the moment, Tiger Woods is 6 shots off the pace at the BMW Championship. And in what the PGA considers their biggest event, their playoff, they might not even have Tiger Woods next week. That's next on 101 ESPN. Justin Thomas leads after the first round of the BMW Championship in Medina outside of Chicago. And Tiger Woods is way down the leaderboard. He's tied for 50th. Tiger has to finish in the top 11 to be in the championship, the Tour Championship next week in Atlanta. That's where he stands because of his FedEx Cup points. It seems kind of weird that the championship is going to be held and it's unlikely that Tiger Woods is going to be in it. What the PGA did this year, they moved all of this. They did all this rescheduling, moved the PGA back to May so that they had a major in April, May, June, July, so that they could set up their playoffs so that it would be done by the time the NFL season started so that they could get more TV ratings.
Makes sense.
But it seems like, to me at least, to have the maximum amount of viewers, you want to have Tiger Woods involved. Now, you don't have any cut during these last two weekends. You have 70 players this weekend, 30 next weekend. You have to be in the top 30 to participate. Don't you think there should be, if the PGA did this specifically to increase TV ratings and enhance excitement in their sport, don't you think that Tiger Woods should be playing?
Yeah, but you also can't manufacture it. And I think that Tiger Woods is at the point where you're going to see flashes of him. And he is going to show up over 4 days and just be dominant. And then you're going to have 3 or 4 tournaments in a row where he's a non-factor. Maybe makes the cut and then falls off. I don't feel like, well, I would love to, you know, same way I would have loved to see LeBron James in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But you can't
you
just put him in the playoffs because he's LeBron James. Things still have to be earned even though you want eyeballs.
Right. And that's the thing that kind of stinks about it, because I think if you care about, you know, sports being true, you can't just throw people into a competition just because people want to see them in general. You have to have, you got to have rules. You got to follow the rules. And although my enjoyment or my interest in the event is always, always going to be higher if he's part of it.
And here's the thing. There are new rules this year. For example, if you, in these last 3 playoff rounds, last week, this week, if you win the tournament, you get 2,000 points, and you automatically have a chance to win the championship going into next week. That's just the way the rules are. If you win a U.S. Open, if you win a PGA, if you win a Masters, you get the opportunity to have exemptions. That's what I think that the PGA needs to do, is set up, and I understand the point system, but set up some exemptions so that if you have won a Masters, if you have won three
majors. Get your stars there.
Yeah, if you've won three majors and those guys want to participate in the final weekend, they can.
I don't mind that. I don't mind that at all. And everybody would know it would be the Tiger rule, but it is what it is. Mm-hmm. And if you want to be in on the Tiger rule, well, win a couple of big tourneys.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you're part of the mix. I don't mind something like that. And that's a really good way to still let guys earn it. And you still have your field, but then you got some guys that have just been grandfathered in that everybody wants to see anyhow, and you're able to grow your game.
See, that's a really good idea. You would just kind of hope they implement it soon, because the guy's not going to play forever.
Yeah, exactly. And they could implement it as soon as next year. And even for Tiger, not that he would win the purse this year, but if you have him in the tournament, the winner gets $15 million.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be some money at the end of the rainbow. Heck, Tiger was within points of winning it last year when he won at East Lake. So you could set up a situation where at least the guy might have an opportunity. That being said, they do have the biggest names that are in the sport that are playing. Justin Thomas leads the way right now. Phil is in the mix. He's going to be in the hunt and have an opportunity. Koepka is going to be there. He's number one in points right now. So outside of Tiger, the biggest names, Rory and Brooks and Phil, Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, they're all going to be there in the hunt. And that's what golf needs, is for somebody else to be able to be a star. I don't know if Koepka's that guy, but they need somebody else besides Tiger to be able to be a star.
The problem is it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen again where somebody is just chasing one man for years. Like that, we're not going to see that sort of dominance again. Tiger was so far ahead of the game when it came to refining his craft, lifting weights, bigger, stronger than everybody else, and nobody could catch up to him. Everybody now emulates Tiger. Everybody's doing the things that Tiger was doing, and then some, and they're building bigger athletes. You don't usually see the big walrus out there anymore in golf. You have fit dudes that have been out there. There are a few exceptions here and there, but I don't think that anybody's ever going to have that star power. And certainly, I mean, Tiger Woods broke down barriers that won't be broken down again. I mean, he was able to do that, had other eyes on him that had never been out there. Golf's never going to see that again.
I do think, though, in this particular year, because it's the first year of this format, if it's not going to be Tiger, it's got to be one of those guys like Koepka or McIlroy. I don't think you can have Patrick Reed, who is regarded as like the biggest jerk
Nobody
on
likes
tour.
Him, yeah.
I don't think you can have him win it. And he won last week. He's second in points right now. John Rahm is fifth in points. Patrick Cantlay is. Nobody knows who Patrick Cantlay is. If Patrick Cantlay walked into our studio right now, we wouldn't know who it is. So I think it's got to be somebody that at least peripherally people know. Even if it's only sports fans that know him, I think for golf's best interest, it's got to be somebody like that that wins it.
Yeah, it has to be somebody. I think that it's fair, and maybe you can text in 65780. I think that even like sports fans, a lot of people that consider themselves sports fans, might not be able to recognize Brooks Koepka. Who kept
right.
as a star,
yep.
You know what I mean? But it's different. Everybody recognizes Tiger Woods and did from the jump.
And I think, would you agree? I think the only two guys that are transcendent like that right now are Tiger and Rory. I think those are the only two guys that if you see them somewhere, hey, that's Tiger Woods.
I think
hey,
Phil's in that conversation,
good
too.
Point. Yeah, Phil, if he's wearing a cap.
Probably.
And his... By the way, his social media, he's really good.
He's funny, man.
He's really funny, and I think that helps a lot, too, is that you have to be good in that way. But I'm with you. I don't know what the new, and I'm not exactly sure how to put it, but maybe market inefficiency. Like, what can the next golfer who's going to be like Tiger possibly do that nobody else has done before?
Well, if
there really isn't anything. He came up when he was really, really young.
Yeah.
Well, now we're seeing younger golfers do well, too. And it's a younger man's game. So, all right, what's the next thing? I mean, that's already been broken.
Right.
I don't know who could possibly be him.
Well, if you're not breaking down social barriers, you have to be just absolutely dominating to get everybody's, you know, everybody's attention. I just feel like there's far too much parity. And by the way, the parity is a good thing if you're into competition. And if you're really into golf, you probably love the fact that you never know on a given weekend who might be on a hot one and just could go on a run, because anybody in the field could win a championship. But it wasn't that long ago when a guy in the field was going to win.
And here's a problem, because we talk about big hitters. The guy that's leading the PGA in driving distance this year is somebody named Cameron Champ. If he ever won a championship, it'd be very cool.
Yeah, the big righty, but Cameron Champ.
Yeah, who the hell is Cameron Champ?
Big righty.
Who hits the ball really far.
Large and right-handed.
Yeah, out of the top five, three of the guys you've never heard of. Rory is second. Somebody named Luke List is third. Wyndham Clark, who's apparently named after a hotel chain, is fourth.
Would also be cool if, in fact, he won something.
It would be.
What do you think about those two tournaments? Well, I Wyndham. So,
and then Bubba is fifth. But even a big hitter, Tiger led the league in driving distance when he was young and at the top of his game. But just because you lead in driving distance doesn't make you a big name, obviously.
Do you know what it might have to be? The next real big thing in golf would have to be somebody from a country that doesn't really have golf. And I believe, in looking at the numbers, something like 85% of the world's countries have it. Have it somewhere they have courses.
What's a country where they don't?
I don't know. I'm looking right now.
You know what I want to see is that great North Korean golfer. Like, I think Kim Jong-il?
Oh, yeah. Doesn't he get a hole
in
one?
Who's
one
Kim Jong-il is perfect, yeah.
He had, like, what, 11 or 12 holes in one in the rest of the round he ever played. So that was pretty impressive.
But he's dead now.
Yeah, it's not good.
So, well, I mean, I don't know if it's not good.
It's not good for him.
Well,
it's not good for him.
Yeah.
I mean, if you could have that guy on tour that has 12 holes in one, then that's the guy that you'd want to have that could take on Tiger.
Yeah. But it can't be Kim Jong-il because
he's dead.
Yeah.
Appreciate the clarification.
Coming up next in the Fast Lane, we're headed down the stretch with a game of Would You Rather. Get your text into the Hot Shots text line, 65780. Patrick Kelly will have your Would You Rathers for us on 101 ESPN. We have Would You Rather coming up in a moment. Get your text into the Hot Shots text line, 65780. The fellas are headed over to B-Dubs in Chesterfield tomorrow, Chesterfield Valley. You can join them. And one thing, when you're playing Big Sizz in the game of FIFA, what he has isn't contagious or anything, so don't worry about that.
Yeah, I think you'll have an advantage already. It's in his lungs. You can't catch that.
Yeah, don't worry about that. But stop by, enjoy the All-American Cheeseburger, and after the show, Big Sizz is going to play somebody, maybe you'll be the lucky one, to participate in a game of FIFA.
I think it's going to be fun. And you can win a B-Dubs gift card, by the way, if, in fact, you take one of us down at that game, which pretty good. The only reason he won last time is because the gentleman that he played against, Mike, I believe was his name, scored an own goal.
Oh, you're kidding.
Oh, wow. That's how Meat won that thing.
I wonder if they chopped the guy's head off afterwards.
I don't think so. I think I saw him at a Cardinal game.
I don't think that's what happened.
Yeah, they did.
They didn't cut his head off. They just shot him.
How else did he get decapitated?
Andres Escobar?
Yeah.
I don't think he was decapitated, was he?
I think that's what they tried to do in Colombia, right?
I'll look this up while PK is getting us started.
Oh, PK, what do you got for us?
First, would you rather have to slam your thumb in a car door once a week or pee your pants in public twice a week?
I will pee my pants in public twice a week.
Me too.
Call me Miles Davis.
Just wear black pants at all times.
Good call, yeah.
From the 314, would you rather be forced to swim across a slow-flowing river, but there's a giant anaconda or a school of piranhas?
Ooh, I'll take the piranhas.
Oh, give me a giant anaconda.
Because... Oh.
Yeah. So
about the snake.
I was answering the question, Ron.
Right.
I don't want a school of piranhas.
Well,
they probably... I'm really, really albino, and they probably crush white meat.
I have heard that piranhas don't... you might do okay if you're in the water. They won't... I don't know if this is true or not, but I just heard that it's not as dangerous as you might think.
As long as they're not hungry.
Is that it?
I think that's part... But there's one species, I think, that has... Yeah, will attack if they're hungry.
Okay. Yeah. But the rest of them, you'll be okay.
The rest of them,
snake's coming after you, though.
Oh, he's coming right at you.
Yeah, there's no question.
Gentlemen, would you rather start every question with, pay attention to me, or, hey, I have a question?
I have a question. Yeah, because you mentioned having a guest on. Pay attention to me.
And we head to the celebrity line, bring in Bob Costas. Bob.
Hey, pay attention to me.
So what do you feel about the Rams? What should we do?
To say it
with that whole thing.
Multiple different ways. Pay attention to me, Bob. Should we get over this? Yeah, I knew it.
Would you rather play a scramble with Kim Jong-il in his prime or play a scramble with Tiger in his prime?
Tiger. That's not even a question.
Yeah, I don't just want to get dominated by Kim Jong-il.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, what'd you have on that, an 8? His people look at you. It was a 2.
He had a 34 for the entire round of 18. A 34 he shot.
Some people are good at stuff, man. Good for them.
I guess he did get shot.
Don't get bitter, get better.
I just found the information at the exact same time you did. Andres Escobar was, in fact, shot 6 times.
By gamblers.
Yeah, he was not decapitated.
I think he was eventually. Shot 6 times. They were making sure.
Would you rather have a $1 million house, but every time you go inside it, you have to squeeze into it like an octopus, so it takes a while to get through the door, or just have a normal $200,000 house?
Just a normal house.
I'm going to squeeze in like an octopus,
I think. How are you going to bring your stuff in?
I'm not going to leave much. It's already. I'm guessing that this thing's fully furnished already. Everything's already in there.
But you can't ever buy anything that's bigger than...
There's got to be a loophole for items. I just have to get in this way. This is the way that I go.
Is there a loophole for this, PK?
It's not safe, but we'll say there's a back entrance just for furniture, but you are not allowed to go
all right,
inside.
So okay, all right. Take the back door. I can't. I'm octopusing.
Me too. Here's some little known awesomeness that I was not aware of.
What's that?
5 days after Escobar's own goal, he was murdered while sitting in his car outside a nightclub in the Colombian city of Medellin. He was shot 6 times, and it was later reported that his killer shouted, "Goal!" each time with each of the 6 shots, one for each time the match's commentator had shouted the word as the goal was broadcast. So it was, "Goal!"
No, he didn't.
That's what the story says. I just read the exact same thing. That's
awesome.
Disgusting.
Well, that's a...
Sick. Well, twisted.
All right, those things are correct. I'm more so thinking about, I was thinking that's a really good way to get caught. Why don't you just pop somebody 6 times and go? Like, you shouldn't sit there and scream about it, you know?
I do agree with that, too.
I think they were being creative. Cool!
Creativity gets you 25 to life.
Not in Colombia. Not if you're a member of the Medellin drug cartel.
That's probably true.
Damn.
Hey, Andres Escobar. This is the way it happened.
That's a reenactment.
No, I don't think so. I think that's authentic.
That's actual audio probably.
From the murder.
Once per week, would you rather have to lick 10 Walgreens bathroom floors or 5 random people's feet?
Other than people's feet.
You have to go rando's feet and hoping they haven't been walking in any of those bathrooms.
Walmart bathrooms.
Yeah. Hopefully they wear shoes.
I'm taking the Walmart bathroom.
No.
Because I believe the Walmart bathroom floors are mopped at least once a day.
I'll bet more than once a day. I think they have checklists.
Yeah. Disinfectant.
No way.
I can't trust people's feet.
Would you rather take a Mike Tyson punch to the face or get hit by a Jordan Hicks fastball?
Jordan Hicks fastball.
In the face?
In the face.
Oh, in the face?
In the face, both of them.
No, I'm taking a Mike Tyson's punch
for sure.
Gloves on. It's going to snap my neck back, but it ain't going to break my face.
And right now, he'd take it easy on us because we're friendly.
We are. And he smokes $40,000 worth of pot a month.
Yeah.
He's probably laid back.
Probably pretty easy
going. He used to eat your kids, but now he cool.
After he smokes pot, maybe that's what he gets the munchies for.
Do you think so?
Thank you.
That was the ear thing?
Yeah. He's got a lot going for him.
I believe those... I can't blame him for that.
It's intense.
Hearts are okay.
Mm-hmm.
Impregnable.
It's a real circus.
Would you rather have an upside-down face every other day or for one random hour each day you start cussing uncontrollably?
I'll take the upside-down face.
Me too. That'd be fun.
You just have to hope it's on the days you pick.
I don't think that with the job that we have... And a random hour of just cursing is going to go well for us.
No, I don't think so.
So I'll be like Jake from Family Guy, I think his name is, and I'll go upside down face.
Turn that smile upside down.
That's right.
Or turn that frown upside down right. So it's a smile.
Yep.
So you're just going to have to every other day frown a lot.
Things have turned all upside down face.
Would you rather have uncontrollable chronic loud gas or chronic uncontrollable runny nose?
I'll do the gas.
Yeah.
Runny noses are awful.
They are. And yeah. For this business, at least sometimes if you're doing an interview, if you have the uncontrollable gas, some people don't notice.
Yeah.
Well, it really depends.
None of that stuff is audible.
What if you're in a leather chair?
Well, why would that matter?
It makes it louder.
I mean, I really just don't think that you're going to pick that up. I'm going with the toots as opposed to the sniffles.
I agree. You know, you could always just have people meet you in a busy place. Yeah.
All right, I'm not going to sit on leather.
Nope.
No. No.
Would you rather have blue season tickets or MLS St. Louis soccer season tickets?
Blue season tickets this year.
Blues, yes.
Yeah. Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you, guys.
That is Patrick Kelly in for Big Sizz today.
Thank you! Thank you! Thank you!
BT,
what do the Cardinals need?
Goal!
It's runs, Alan.
Runge.
Hope meat's okay.
I'm not dead.
What? Nothing ears your nonsense.
I'm not dead.
Yeah. He says he's not dead.
Yes, he is.
I'm not.
He isn't?
Well, he will be soon. He's very ill.
I'm getting better.
No, you're not. You'll be stone dead in a moment.
Mike Ryder has been our board op doing great work for us. And he was our producer today, too. So we really appreciate that. For all of us, thanks for tuning in, texting in, and being a part of the show. Till tomorrow at 3, good night, St. Louis.